From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Whenever I tell people I live in Seattle, the first thing they ask is, how do I deal with the rain? My pat answer, well, you know, it rains more in Boston and lots of other cities than here. What defines Seattle and the Northwest to you? Quick, I say Seattle Northwest. What is top of mind?
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. And the hills, the greenest green in Seattle. Like a beautiful child growing up free and wild. Full of hopes and full of fears. Full of laughter, full of tears. Full of dreams to last the years in Seattle.
Seattle, a beautiful child, according to Perry Como. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Seattle and the Northwest? Molly Williams asked people what Seattle means to them.
Friendly people, the caring brothers, even though outsiders might find us a little cold. Once you're in the community, there's definitely a lot of people who are willing to help you out.
It's really environmental. I really like how green Seattle is.
It's green.
Interest in the outdoors, nature.
A lovely climate.
Cloudy weather, but the clouds bring out the smiles, I think.
It's cool here.
On a day like today, all you can say is rain.
Rain.
Is it people? Is it place? Is it the environment? Is it the way that it looks? Is it the feel of being in Seattle and the Northwest? Seattle Public Utilities says water defines Seattle. That's a pretty good definition. Lake Washington to the east, the Puget Sound to the west, the rain coming down from above the lakes in Seattle. It's a huge influence on what becomes, what is this city. Sandra wrote to us, what defines Seattle for me is Real Change newspaper and the men and women who sell it. The way the public supports homeless vendors of this wonderful paper is a real joy. Julie tweeted to us, trees, especially firs and pines, etc. To Arwen Nix, our producer, Smith Tower says Seattle. What says Seattle to you? To Mark, it's mountains, water, music, tech, great coffee, beer, and food. To Zephyr, it's farmers markets. To Matt, it's the Space Needle and plaid, also known as Ballard camo. Let's go to Joan, who's listening to us today in Leschi. Joan, I say Seattle Northwest. You immediately think what?
Well, we've got a lot of 12-step meetings here. A lot of people recovering from many addictions.
That, you know, the church down the street from me has like constant, nonstop 12-step meetings. So that's one thing you notice about our area.
Yeah, it's just great for that. So if people, you know, need to be in a healthy environment for recovery, come to Seattle.
And anything else that comes immediately to mind?
We have an incredible glass community here. Blowing glass is a big, big part of our culture here.
That's really true. Hey, Joan, thanks for adding those things.
All right. Thank you.
The Chihuly Glass Museum down at Seattle Center, sort of the leader in the area, and it spawned a lot of other people who do that. Let's go to Nikki, who's listening to us today in Auburn. And Nikki, the first thing that comes to mind to Nikki is more of a trait rather than a place. What is it, Nikki?
Exceeding politeness.
You said that with a little edge in your voice, like I could hear politeness in your voice.
That's actually what I meant, but as I become more and more of a Seattleite...
You're becoming
less
polite
and less
about criticizing politeness.
Exactly. And less of a Chicagoan, it becomes more natural to my very nature. But I remember the first time I really noticed it was, well, once in a line at Starbucks where, you know, where there's 50 people standing in line and it magically a line opens up and everybody says, you, no, you, first you. And I'm a Chicago and I'm like, well, me.
That's the classic example of that also, Nikki, is you're trying to merge on a highway and people are going, no, you go. No one gets anywhere.
Oh, my God. I remember once on a country road out near Kirkland, I passed a guy. No big deal. I mean, I didn't crowd him or anything. And I looked in my rearview mirror and I could see him hunching up his shoulders like, why would you pass me? I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. It wasn't personal.
Overly aggressive, Nikki. You got the Chicago coming out your ears.
I love it. Now that I'm used to it, I love it.
Nikki, thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
We're talking today about those things that are distinctively Seattle, distinctively Northwest, that you've noticed, and maybe the excessive politeness, the exceedingly politeness. Is that something that you notice? You know, the opposite, the flip side of that, and we've talked about that a lot on the show, is the Seattle freeze, the idea that one thing that's characteristic that people think of right away is how superficially friendly people in Seattle are. But when it comes to reconnecting and making steady friends. That doesn't happen. That's even got a name for it, the Seattle Freeze. Is that something you think of first and foremost? We're talking socially. We're talking about the geography. We're talking about the landscape, jobs, anything that comes to mind when you think of Seattle and the Northwest. We've got Jay on the line. Jay, what comes to your mind?
Hi. I just came out from Boston, and driving out there is like driving through a maze. And it just seems much more drivable out here. And out there, you need to know where you're going before you get there.
To Jay, drivable. That's the first thing he thinks of coming from the Northeast. Ed writes to us, sunrise and sunset, traveling the viaduct. Traveling the viaduct, that signature Seattle experience, which not going to be with us forever. The viaduct, of course, is coming down. Let's go to Valerie. Valerie is listening to us today in Ballard. Valerie, how you doing?
I'm fine.
What comes to mind when you think about our area?
I think of stuckness. I think Seattle's been stuck in a groove for the longest time. I remember in the 50s when I first lived here, how we got things done. You know, we had built the brought the World's Fair here and built the Seattle Center and so on, and then the freeway. And now we can't make up our mind about anything or do anything. We endlessly talk about it or endlessly vote on it or endlessly, you know, it's just, to me, it just feels stuck here.
Valerie, thanks a lot for your call. Stuckness is what sticks in Valerie's mind, this idea that she can't really move forward. Sandy's with us today on Bainbridge Island. Sandy, what comes to mind when you think of Seattle?
Well, I think of Seattle as a very playful city. I think we've got some whimsical architecture. There's a great skateboard scene. There's the busking. There's a good improv scene. The neighborhoods are really distinctive and eclectic, great festivals. I just think there's a playful mood in the city.
I think so, too. Sandy, thanks for calling. I appreciate that. Bill Cosby thought that he nailed Seattle back in 1964 on his second album. Here's how he described our city.
I want to tell you about Seattle, Washington, and then I'm going. Seattle, Washington is a city. As far as the weather is concerned, they're a little backwards. In Seattle, they have rain at least 365 days of the year, so therefore they don't know anything about the sun. As a matter of fact, they think that the sun is evil. You know, when the sun comes up, what did we do? Is our town bad? You know, what have we done? You know, and they go out and they cut a calf, you know, and put them up on a rock. You know, that kind of thing. But no, it's the truth. And you can see them out there. They don't know the difference. You know, they're out there on the beach when it's raining, getting a rain tan. You know, they're out there. And they think the more wrinkled the body, the better you look. You know, really. That's all. You look like a Bruin. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You know, it's the truth. And you ask anybody from Seattle, says, do you like the sun? No. Why? Dries up the sinuses. That's why. You know, can't breathe.
Bill Cosby's take on Seattle. Let's go to Ben. He's calling us today from Tacoma. Ben, Seattle, Northwest, what do you think of right away?
When I think of, I've been born and raised in Seattle my entire life, and I think of people who are passive, and I have a story actually from the Bite of Seattle that illustrates this.
Okay, go right ahead.
So I was going up to the ATM, which is right at, when you're walking in past where the Fun Forest used to be, and I assumed there seemed like there was no one waiting in line for the ATM, so I walk up to go get money out. And I turn around after getting money out, and these people who'd been standing nearby, 5 feet away, all have their arms crossed and are all giving me a death stare. They're all looking at me. And I realized they had been waiting in line, but not a single one of them had said a word when I walked right past them and cut them in line. And I just thought if I had done that in any other place, if I had done that in New York or I'd done that in L.A., they would have been tapping me on the shoulder real quick and
at
saying,
least,
hey, buddy.
At least.
Yeah, and I just thought it was hilarious. And just driving, I mean, it's just a very passive city, but I love it. I think it's great.
Is it turning you into that guy, Ben, who's going to hang back and let someone cut in front of you and never say a word, do you think?
No, you know, I notice it all the time. Me and my friend were talking about it while we were walking away, and we're like, you can kind of almost like get away with things. Like, if you acknowledge that fact, it's kind of hilarious. We're like, well, what's the key to keep us from cutting in line? Let's like experiment with this. Let's see if people will actually do it. You know, not to be a mean person or anything, but it's just really funny.
What can I get away with? Ben, thanks for your call. Let's go to Carson calling us today from the Central District. Carson, top of mind, what do you think of when you think of our area?
The rich anarchist tradition.
The Wobblies, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the WW in the early 1900s, who organized, you know, loggers to the George Jackson Brigade in the 70s. And, you know, most recently we've seen May Day and WTO protests. And
the general strike of 1919, a really interesting piece of Seattle's past, when people on the waterfront shut the entire city down, kind of a major watershed moment in labor history.
Exactly, largely organized by Wobblies and other anarchists. It's just a really strong history of anarchists in the Northwest.
Hey, Carson, thanks for sharing that with us. And we also got this email from Carter, who wrote, other cities have ferries, but I don't know any other American city where you can walk on water twice a day for about $6 round trip. That's what stands out for him when it comes to that. Here's Robin Hitchcock's take on what Seattle is. He does it through a walk through downtown Seattle.
I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is KQOW 94.9 Seattle.
When you slide down fourth again, where the Clermont.